Okay, morning. Today's daf increases is Ches. We are in the Mishnah on Zainam and Beis. There are two Mishnahs. We're in the top Mishnah. Yesh Mivin Karban. This is our second Mishnah in the Perek. The Perek opened up, the Masechta opened up on daf Beis, obviously, with a listing of the 36 Isuri Kares. The 36 Isuri Kares, not all of them are Isurim, so that's a bit of a misnomer on my part. 34 are Isurim, and the last two are Mitzvah Sese. If you violate the 34 Isurim, so you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas. And as we pointed out, the whole point of the Mishnah is that it's possible for one person to be in violation of all of them. The Gemara tinkered a little bit with that idea, but that's the basic idea of the Mishnah. The number, by the way, in total is not 36. Just as a recap of the last Mishnah and the last seven blot of Gemara. The number of chayvei krisos is actually exceeds the number 36. I know it's... We think the number 36 because that's the opening of the parak, and every time we turn a page in this parak, we keep seeing the number Shloshim V'Sheish 36, and it's good, by the way. In other words, and the number also speaks to us, right? It's a good number, if you will. But nevertheless, it's not the number is greater than 36. Rambam ends up counting a total of, and I think I should double check it before I say it, but I think it comes out to a total of 48. In other words, because remember, in our Mishnah, we have categories and we also have subcategories, even though the Mishnah went through 15 arayos, but the 15 arayos on the Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. There are more arayos, which the Mishnah doesn't mention, but the Mishnah kind of figures that, you know, it's subsumed, one of the arayos can be subsumed in another of one of the arayos. So the real number is going to be something closer to 50 than the 36 mentioned in our Mishnah. Notwithstanding, that was the first Mishnah in the Masechta, and then a week's discussion in the Gemara. We are now in the second Mishnah, as we are now in the top of Zayin Amud Beis, middle of Zayin Amud Beis, Yesh Mevin Karban Ben Echal. So sometimes a carbon is brought and the carbon is going to be consumed. V'yesh Mevin Karban Ben Echal. Sometimes a carbon is going to be brought and it's not going to be consumed. V'yesh Ein Mevin Karbanos. V'yesh Ein Mevias Karban Ben Echal. And sometimes the carbon is not brought altogether. And so basically what we're looking at over here are three different categories, three different circumstances in which carbon is going to be brought but not eaten, or not brought at all. Not brought at all. In order to understand the upcoming Gemara, so let's just get ourselves rooted in some basic information. A woman after having given birth, so there is a period of Tumah Tahara. She's going to be Tameya if she gave birth to a boy for 7 days, and then she'll be Tahora, where for the next 33 days she'll be in a state of Tahora. Those 7 plus 33 is obviously a total of 40. And those 40 days are what's called the malos, the days of her counting. Until day 40, up to and through day 40. So she's in a position now where, in terms of her and her husband are concerned, so that's its own unique set of halachas. 7, she's Tameya, 33, she's Tahora. That's, of course, Bizman, the Mishnah and the Gemara subsequently. Minag Yisrael has been to be machmir on that, but let's put that aside because that's not our discussion right now. We will have the discussion when we get to Masechta Nida. But in the meantime, however, our discussion really is going to be focused around the carbon. Now, the carbon that she brings is going to be on day 41. On day 41, now that she has concluded her malos, so she's going to bring a set of carbonos. It's introduced to us in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. She brings two birds. One is a chatas and the other is an ola. Now the chatas bird that she's bringing over here is not for a chet, obviously. She had a baby. So the carbon that she's bringing over here, the chatas that she's bringing, is a machshir, not a mechaper. It's providing her the allowance, the ability to go back into the Beis HaMikdash, because prior to that she was not allowed to. It allows her to eat carbon, prior to that she wasn't allowed to. So in other words, obviously it is significant for her vis-a-vis her hechsher, but it's not there to provide a kapara. Okay, now, when does she have to bring this carbon? So as I just described, after she's given birth, if it was a boy, on day 41. Now, if it's a girl, all numbers get doubled. So her Yemei Tuma for a girl, 14. Then the Yemei Tahara are 66, 14, 66. So that's a total of 80 days. And so therefore, on day 81, she'll be bringing a carbon. What the Mishnah is going to go through is a series of categories in which, if it's definitively a baby, so then she brings a chatas and an ola. Now, obviously, the ola bird is not to be consumed because no ola carbon is to be consumed. The chatas bird is going to be consumed by the Kohanim. But that's only in a scenario where she definitively gave birth to a baby. If, however, she's not sure, or we'll go through other scenarios, So then she does not, she'll still bring the carbon chatas nanola, but the chatas will not be consumed. Well, why would she bring the chatas if the chatas is not going to be consumed? Because remember, this is not a mechaper, it's a machshir. The purpose of this carbon is to give her allowance to go into the base of Mikdash and to eat carbon. So if she's in a position where she may have to bring this carbon, she's going to have to bring it, otherwise she won't be allowed entrance into the area of the base of Mikdash and she won't be allowed to eat carbon. She'll be prohibited from eating carbon. She's in a state of suffix. So the carbon will be brought, but because there's a chance that the carbon's not required, so therefore the Kohanim are not going to eat it. And then there's a third category where she's not going to bring carbonus altogether because what she had is simply not a birth. It was a discharge, but it wasn't a birth. And so now we go through all three of these categories. So Hamapelskim in Behema Chayv Alf, Dereb Meir V'Chachamim Omrim. I'm sorry, let me start off just one line earlier with the heading of the category. So Mivias Karban V'Nechal, what's the scenario where she brings the carbon and it's consumed? Hamapelskim in Behema Chayv Alf, Dereb Meir V'Chachamim, Divrei Rabbi Meir V'Chachamim Omrim, She'ebel Mitzuras Adam. So she has to give birth to a viable entity. Now, what that entity is, it's an interesting machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Rav Meir says that as long as it is something which is of an animal, right, a chaya or a behema or even an oaf. Okay, obviously it was a mutation that came out of her. It looks like an animal, but according to Rav Meir, that will bring about tumas leida. That qualifies as a leida. The chachamim don't agree with that. The chachamim say that it has to come out looking like a human. So mitzuras ha'adam. So Hamapelis, and by the way, it's clear from the Gemara over here, did not have to come out viable. That's clear, meaning that's nafel. So, but the point is that whatever did come out, according to the Chachamim, has to have looked like a human. Hamapelis sandal shayo shpir merukam vayotze mechutach. If a woman has given birth to sandal, you're going to hear that term a lot in terms of the types of miscarriages a woman had. Sandal basically looks like a sandal, it was crushed. And oshilya, Oshpir, or she gave birth to a placenta or to an amniotic sac. Mirukam, you could see pieces, unfortunately, of the fetus that were there. Vayotz mechutach, or the fetus came out in pieces. Vechein shivcha shipila, or let's say the shivcha kananis, in fact, had a miscarriage. So mivei karba menecha. So these are all scenarios in which, because the birth was that of a human, even though it wasn't a viable birth, but it came out as a human, so therefore that qualifies as a birth, vis-a-vis she's going to have to bring a carbon, a chatas and an ola. This is bivada, it's definitive, and therefore the carbonas are going to be, the chatas bird is going to be consumed by the kohen. Ve'elam avias ve'ina ne'echalos. Now we're in category number two. She'll bring the carbon, but the carbon will not be consumed. Hamapeles ve'in yoda ma hipila. So she gave birth, but it is not known what in fact she gave birth to. So something came out of her, she discharged, but unfortunately we don't have the remnants of the discharge and we simply don't know what it was. Or let's say in the birthing room you had two women giving birth. One gave birth to something which does not qualify as a birth, one did. And we don't know which to assign to whom. And so therefore they're both now in the state of Safik. Now, this becomes a problem when they both go on their way, one to the east, the other to the west. But if they're both standing here, so then it would not be a problem. Meaning what we can now do is, because one of these two gave definitive birth, so therefore we'll just simply bring one set of carbon. And it will be consumed. And more of this to be discussed in the Gemara in terms of how we're bringing one set of carbonas for two women. Okay, we'll tackle that more in the Gemara. Elu she'in mevias, and now we're in category number three: women who simply do not bring a carbon because what they discharged, what they miscarried, does not qualify whatsoever. Hamapel shpir male mayim. Let's say the sack is filled with water, or malo dam, or blood, or malo ganunim, or other types of colors. Hamapel skimin dagim v'chagavim v'shkatzim v'ramatzim, or she gave birth to something that was so mutated it looked something like a fish or like some sort of sheketz or emes, some sort of small crawly animal. Hamapelas period. I'm sorry, let's put a period right over there. These are scenarios in which the woman will not be bringing a carbon. Hamapelas yom arba'im. Let's say she discharged 40 days post-conception. So after conception, anywhere within 40 days of conception, so as we say throughout the Gemara, so that fetus, it's so undeveloped, is what the Gemara describes in other places as maya ba'alma. It's just basically, it's a liquid discharge. It's not considered a fetus, and it does not qualify for her to bring a carbon. The Yotzei Dofen, and also on top of that, cesarean section does not result in the bringing of a carbon. Rabbi Shimon Mechai b'Yotzei Dofen, Rabbi Shimon on that point disagrees. You are required to bring a carbon for Yotzei Dofen, for a cesarean section. Shivcha min nalan. Yeah. Perfect. It's Gemara's going to discuss it. It also, right, that also flagged the Gemara. Like, what? What? Okay. Shivcha min nalan. How do I know a shivcha is in a position where she's going to be bringing a carbon? Tan Rabbanan b'nei Yisrael and Le'ela b'nei Yisrael. The Torah in Parshas Tazrir opens up with b'nei Yisrael, which clearly indicates that this is a requirement for b'nei Yisrael. Now, the status of a shivcha, just so that we're clear, so, and this is true by Nevekanani as well, is somewhere in between being a non-Jew and a Jew. When a either non-Jewish woman or man is owned as an eved or a shivcha by a Jew, so there is a tefillah, and if it's a male, by the way, there is a bris milah, and so they do now get some sort of upgrade. They are trending towards being Jewish. However, they can't marry a Jew at this point in time. They can't marry a non-Jew. In other words, they marry within themselves. And a shivcha kananis, by the way, can also be connected, can be linked with an Eved Ivri under certain circumstances. We spoke about it actually not so long ago. Anyway, so when the Torah offers the introduction to the karbanos of a woman who gave birth, the Torah says the words B'nei Yisrael. And now the Gemara is commenting. So B'nei Yisrael, Ein Li'ela B'nei Yisrael. Giyaris, shivcha, minayin, how about a convert? How about a shivcha? Interesting, by the way, the shivcha is connected, categorized with the giyaris. She is a quasi-giyaris. So minayin tamalamer isha. So the Torah says the word isha, which is inclusionary. My vechein shivcha sakda abecha mina ki armina kol mitzvah shei shechayav ba ever chayav ba hani mila bedavr sheshava bein ish uvein isha. I might have thought like this. Look, it is true that a eved and a shivcha are obligated mitzvahs. And it's also true that all the mitzvahs that a woman are obligated, they're obligated as well. But I might have thought mitzvahs that they're obligated on are only mitzvahs that are apply both to men and women. This idea of the carbon yoledes obviously only applies to women and not to men. And therefore the hava mina would have been that it shouldn't apply to the shivcha. And the Gemara expresses this hava mina. Ava yoledes de benashim isa banashim leisa ema lo tichayev. That's what I might have thought. She shouldn't be obligated. So, I'm sorry, lo tichayev shivcha. Ahachitani shivcha. And that's why shivcha is coming here to teach us that she is going to be obligated. She has enough status of being b'nei Yisrael, meaning she's not full b'nei Yisrael, but enough of the status of b'nei Yisrael where she qualifies and is obligated to bring the carbon. It's even a little bit difficult, by the way, to entertain the idea that she's not going to bring a carbon. As we pointed out, a woman, after having given birth, she can't eat any karbanos herself until she brings the carbon. So if our shivcha kananis was in a position, I'm just for a moment entertaining the other side, even though there is no other side, but if a shivcha kananis were in a position where she is not going to be bringing a carbon, her carbon leida, so then how would she ever be able to go into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos? She's not going to be partaking karban Pesach, meaning it's almost impossible situation to conceive of. Anyway, there is no other side, so let's leave it like that. Elu mevin karban my avden. We're now in the case of the Mishnah where we are having our two women. One definitively gave birth, the other one possibly, and they didn't go in their separate ways. And we have them here both together, and they're going to be bringing a set of karbanos between the jointly. And the Gemara now wants to know how does that work. So Maisin and Tarvayo chad carbon. So they not each. They collectively bring a carbon. Vadai chatas of safek Tarvayo chad carbon. Vadai v'chatas of safek. So okay. So let me just clarify. All right, I now realize the mistake I made. They're each one of them going to be bringing an ola bird. And then collectively, jointly, they're going to be bringing one chatas bird. Okay, now I got it. Umasne. And then the next thing they're going to do is they're going to make a condition. And they're going to say as follows. The Gemara doesn't fill in the blanks, but let's fill in the blank. The condition is going to sound like this. Look, I don't know which one of us is definitively obligated to carbon. And the other one, we're not sure. So look, an ola bird, it could either be applied towards Leda or it's voluntary. You can bring an olah bird anytime you want. So I'll bring the olah bird, you'll bring the olah bird, and with the bringing of the olah bird, we're each going to say, if I'm obligated, so then it'll serve as my later bird. If it's you that's obligated, and me, not me, so then mine will just simply be voluntary. That's fine. Now, as far as the chatas bird is concerned, so you can't just simply bring a chatas bird unless you know that you're obligated. Okay, but one of them is. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring the chatas bird, and they're simply going to say, whichever one is definitively obligated, this chatas bird will apply to the one who definitively needs it. Good. Now we have a solution. The Gemara says, but this is all predicated on a condition. Can you do that with karbanos? Can you bring karbanos conditionally? Now the Gemara says, this is a machlokas tanaim, and we know where Rabbi Yossi lands on this issue. And it's then going to confuse us, because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was the one who opened up the idea of making bringing a conditional karban. Umisa le Rabbi Yossi tanava hatanam. We learned in the following Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Amar mivin shneim chatas echas. Rabbi Yossi Amar ein shneim mivin chatas echas. So this Mishnah teaches us that according to Rav Yossi, you cannot bring a carbon jointly based on a condition. And this obviously poses a problem. So, Amal Rav Yossi leis leitana. So, according to Rav Yossi, there is no condition that can be made. Amal Rav Amod Rav Yossi b'mechusar kapara. V'chein ki asa Ravin Amal Rav Yochan Amod Rav Yossi b'mechusar kapara. So, the Gemara says, look, we're going to make a distinction between a different type of two different types of carbon chatas. Like we already said this morning, there's a carbon chatas that's a kapara, and there's a carbon chatas which is a hechsher. When we're talking about a kapara, so then the carbon chatas cannot be brought conditionally. If I may have to bring a carbon chatas, or you, right, the situation would be, you and I sat down, one of us ate chalev, we don't know which one. So, on that scenario, Rav Yossi says, here's what we can't do. We can't jointly bring a carbon chatas because one of us for sure ate chalev, we don't know which one. And to bring the carbon chatas as a condition, that's off the table. However, according to Rav Yossi, I'll tell you what's on the table. If it's the woman who gave birth and her carbon chatas, which is not a kapara carbon, it is a machshir carbon, Rav Yossi says, now we can bring it conditionally. Now, my time, hasam bai gavri yediyah, dechsiv ahoda alav chataso, hilkach lo masyan umasne. So the Gemara explains the differentiation. When it comes to a kapara carbon, a chatas that was, let's say, for the eating of chalev, so there the Torah says, oh, hoda alav. You have to know. The only time you can bring a carbon chatas is if you definitively know that you violate the avera. Masha'en came when it's the chatas of the machshir type, i.e. the one given by the woman who just gave birth, so there you can make it tonight.
There's no Asham Talaway equivalent in either.
No. Right. Because it's not there for a chet. Elu she'en mevien, Rabbi Shimon mechayev biyotzei dofen. Now Rabbi Shimon says that you would be obligated by a cesarean. My time with the Rabbi Shimon, I'm Rish Lakish, I'm a krav, I'm nekeva teled, l'rabos leida acheres. So another type of leida. In other words, how many different types of leida are there? So actually, two. In other words, there's natural delivery and then there's cesarean. So my yotzi dofen v'rabbanan my tama amar rav mani bar pati shishake cesarei of yalda ashtelim mimaknu shemazras. So the chachamim also have a drasha, and that is the pasuk says that a woman who was impregnated and then she gave birth. So that means that the only thing that qualifies as a birth is where the baby came out in the same pathway in which she became impregnated, actually meaning natural delivery. So there you see clearly that the only thing that qualifies as a delivery is only when it comes out as a natural delivery. And so the Gemara doesn't go through the back and forth over here. What does Rabbi Shimon do with the Chachamim Psukim? Vice versa. The Gemara tables that discussion. Next Mishnah. Okay. To appreciate the next Mishnah, let us once again see our woman who just gave birth. Let's talk about a scenario where she gave birth to a girl. That has to be the case over here in our Mishnah for reasons which will become clear, which will become obvious. Now, after having given birth to a girl, so again, let's go through her calendar, her timetable. After the delivery of a girl, for the next 14 days, she will be in a state of tumah. The next 66 days, she'll be called, her dam will be tam tahor, but she's still within the period of what's called the malos. She's got to be counting those days. So in other words, 14 plus 66, a total of 80 days. those 80 days, she is banned, barred from going into the area of the Beis HaMikdash. She can't eat karban. It's only going to be on the 81st day where she's going to be bringing her pair of birds, chatos and ola. What the Mishnah now is going to be describing is the following scenario. Now, let's say what we know for sure. What we know for sure is that if, let's say, she were to have a second delivery within the 80. Now, I say second delivery. Obviously, what I mean is it's a miscarriage, meaning there's no way she's going to be able to have a viable fetus within those 80 days postpartum. That's obvious. But what happened was is that within those 80 days, she was with her husband because, again, after day 14, she's allowed to be with her husband. So anywhere between 15 and 80, she was with her husband. And on top of that, she had a viable fetus. I say viable, by the way. I just simply mean it's over 40 days old. We learned in the previous Mishnah that if the fetus is not 40 days, if the fetus is not 40 days, it's just Maya Ba'alma. And that will not require her to bring a carbon. So that means to say that we're talking about where it was at least a 40-day gestated fetus from conception until the time of miscarriage. And so now it's possible that within those 80 days, she can have another fetus. Albeit it's a miscarriage, but she can have it. Now, would that require her to bring a second set of karbanos? Now, the answer within 80 days is clearly no. And I say within 80, I mean even on day 80. The answer is clearly no. Because she's still within the time frame of her first delivery, and so therefore anything that happens in the interim is not going to require her to bring another set of karbanos. However, if she had a miscarriage after day 80, meaning on the 81st day, then because on day 81 she was already at that point in time obligated to bring her karban for her first delivery, so any delivery subsequent to from 81 and onward is going to require its a new series of karbanos. Okay, I hope that was clear. Okay, that's the baseline halacha. What is now going to be open for a debate is machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What if she miscarried on the eve of the 81st day? Why is that debatable? Because we'll think about it. Meaning, on one hand, it's post day 80. On the other hand, the only reason why she would have to bring a new series of karbanos is because she's already obligated a karbanos for the first delivery. On the eve of 81, she can't bring karbanos, meaning karbanos are only limited to be brought during the daytime. So on one hand, the eve of 81 is post day 80, but on the other hand, she is not yet obligated in her karbanos for the first delivery, because that only occurs on the morning of 81. So that's why we're now in this gray area. And it's a gray area which will be debated.
Don't we count that night in karbanos, like you mentioned before?
You can't bring a karban at night. You can't be makdish a karban at night. Mm-hmm. Although there is a debate, and the Gemara is going to address it, of whether or not Laila is considered mechusar zman or not mechusar zman. So you remember correctly, the Gemara is going to touch on that. But I'm just presenting it so that we you can easily understand how this Mishnah is now going to be open for a debate. So here at Machlok, it's between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says she's not going to be obligated a new karban for a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st. And Beis Hillel says she's going to be chayv. Amar Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Maishna or Shmonim Ve'echad, Mi Yom Shmonim Ve'echad. What could possibly be the difference? Im Shiva Lo L'Tuma, Lo Yishva Lo L'Karban. Consider. She discharges blood anywhere between day 15 to day 80. That's Dam Tahor. Once the sun sets after day 80, once she is now on the evening on day 81, she bleeds, she has a discharge of blood, that is no longer Dam Tahor. That's Dam Tuma. So you see already that she goes through it and she underwent the status change from day 80 to the eve of day 81. So Beis Hillel says, so aren't we going to say the same thing regarding carbon? So Amalam Beit Sham, I low, Imamatma Bempels, Yom Shmoni Ve'echad, Shekin Yasal Shashi, he ruuya lahavi bas karban. Tamar Bempels, or Shmoni Ve'echad, Yasal Shashi, he ruuya lahavi bar karban. Counter argument of Beit Shammai. I don't understand. The comparison you're making is not relevant to our discussion. We're having a discussion about karban. On the eve of 81st, she can't bring a karban. So therefore, she's not qualified yet and not obligated yet in a karban. So if she, in fact, had a miscarriage on the eve of 81, so that's not going to be counting as a new obligation because she's not yet obligated from her first delivery. So Amru Lahem Beisil of Aloma Pels Yom Shmoni Be'echa Shechalios Be'Shabbos Tochiach Shelo Yatzal L'Shashi Ruia Lahavi Behu Karban V'Chayev Is Karban. So counter argument of Beisil. How about this? Let's say day 81 happens to fall out on the Shabbos, which of course means now that even though she is post day 80, but nevertheless she obviously cannot bring her own karban. Private karbanos can, even if they're obligatory, cannot be offered on Shabbos and Yontif. So obviously she's going to have to postpone the bringing of her karban on day 81, and she's going to then have to bring it on day 82, otherwise known as Sunday. Now, if she miscarried on day 81, are we going to have a discussion? Are we going to have a debate on day 81? That day 81 which fell on the Shabbos. Now, on one hand, she can't bring a karban. And now you want to tell me, oh, because she can't bring a karban, therefore, this still counts towards her first delivery? Now, it doesn't count towards the first delivery. This is considered now a new leda. So Amar Lan Beisham Elohim Amartim Yom Shmon Ve'echad Shechalos B'Shabbos Shaf Al Pi She'enan Ru'i LeKarban Yachid or LeKarban Sibor Tomer Ben Mapels Or Shmonim Ve'echad She'en Alayla Ru'i LeKarev Yachid V'Lo LeKarban Sibor. So Beisham really here gets the last word, and that is not comparable, because when her day 81 falls down to Shabbos, yes, she can't bring a karban, but the day itself is not precluded from karbanos. You bring karban on that day. It's just that she can't bring her own personal karban. But it's not a day which is precluded from karbanos. We're having a discussion of the night of the 81st. The night of the 81st, who could bring a karban at that time, at night? Nobody. So it's not a good comparison. And your original argument about blood, right? In other words, what was Beis Hillel's original argument? She bleeds on the eve of of 81. So she's going to be Tmeya, right? Now the answer is yes, that's right. But that doesn't mean anything. Consider, says Beit Shammai. Let's say she miscarried anywhere within her 80 days, right? Day 70, she miscarried. So it's true now that she is in at that period of time what's considered to be Dam Tahor. But because she miscarried, she's going to be Tmeya. Meaning the act of Leda, the birth itself, is going to be mitameher. So the idea that, well, look, if she goes from Tahor to Tumah, that doesn't mean anything. Even within the 80 days, if she were to give birth, she'd be Tameya. So don't look at whether she's Tameya or Tahora as the barometer of whether or not she's going to have to bring a karban or not have to bring a karban. Tanya, we are now on the top of Ches Amud Aleph. Amru Lembeis Hillel Lebeit Shammai Harehu Omer. Now, although in our Mishnah, the Mishnah was long and extraordinarily extensive, and there was a back and forth between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, they were arguing not about Pesukim, but it was a logical argument making points, kind of, it's Kavachomer, Binyan Av, meaning using methodology. Here in the Braisa, Beit Hillel says that if a woman miscarries on the eve of the 81st, she's going to be chayiv now a new series of karbanos, a new set of karbanos. Why? Drasha. So in the Braisa, super simple, it's a drasha. Now, Rabbi Yoshia Havishchech Kameh Debar Kapara, the Gemara now goes through first a little bit of background so that we can understand a little bit of the, a little bit of hurt feelings, if you will. Rav Oshia used to learn by Bar Kapara, Shafke Vasa Kameh De Rabbi Chia. And Rav Oshia switched Rebbeim. Okay. And he found more success in learning with Rabbi Chia. It happens. Yumachar Paga Bey. Now, at one point in time, so Rav Oshia meets up with his old Rebbe. And so, okay, and we're all human, meaning we'd love to be above it all, but we're not. We're human. So, Ba'minei Zav, Sheragim Ori'ios, Belel Ches, Ma Beis Hillel Omrim B'davar Zdem. Okay, it's a similar type of question. It's not the same. In order to appreciate this question, again, just a little bit of base background information so that we understand. A man can have a seminal discharge, a chichva zera, a keri discharge, or a man can be having a zav discharge. Now, when it comes to a woman and the difference between being a nida and being a zava, it's just a question of calendar. Which day she is? Is she during her nida days or seven nida days, or is it during the 11 zava days? When it comes to a man and the differentiation between a keri and a zava, there actually are physical differences between the type of discharge it is. A balkeri is a seminal discharge. A zav discharge is more like, I'm giving a comparison, I'm not saying this is it, but it's more like a gonorrheal discharge. It's not the same type of discharge. A man has one zav discharge, so he's tamei. But his tuma is a mild tuma. He goes to the mikvah, he experiences Harav Shemesh, sunset, and it's good. If he has two discharges, either within one day or 2 days, so now it's serious. It's more serious. It was serious at one, but it's now more serious in that he is going to have to now count Shiva Nakiyim, seven clean days. Seven clean days are actually very straight, very simple. It just means that he will not be tar until he experiences seven clean days of not having a discharge. At the end of those 7 days, he tovels in the mikvah. On the seventh day, he tovels in the mikvah. That night, he's tar. Now, what if he has three zav discharges anywhere within 3 to 1 days? Unlike a woman, by the way, where it has to be on three consecutive days, for a man and his zav discharges, even if those three zav discharges occurred in 1 day, he's now a major zav. Meaning, not only does he need the shiva nakim, but on day 8, he also needs to bring a pair of karbanos, chatzos and ola. These are the baseline rules of a zav. With that stated, zav shiragim or reios belel ches. Let's say our zav had three reios on lel ches. So on the eve of the 8th day, now he experienced shiva nakim, and now on the morning of the 8th day, he was planning on bringing his karbanos. But on the eve of the 8th day, he had three discharges consecutively. My Beis Hillel Omrim B'davar Zeh, what would Beis Hillel say? So now let's consider. In the Mishnah, what was the Mishnah employing for Beis Hillel? Arguments. So whatever argument would be true with the woman on the eve of day 81, it'd be the same thing over here. In the Braisa, on the top of the Amud, what did Beis Hillel say? Drasha. Well, drashas are not transferable. Meaning, we have a drasha over here, that's a drasha over here. Doesn't mean that the same halacha would apply in another area, even though it's a similar area. Okay, that's exactly the question. Now, Tamai de Beis Hillel b'mapels b'layla mishum dechtiv labas, aval zav shiragim arias b'lel ches patre, t'lami asikra, and that's basically how the Gemara sets it up. Are we talking about a drasha? Odum aloshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Meaning, maybe it's not drasha, maybe it's like more like our Mishnah, and arguments, and limudim, and not limudim, and midos. Right, you'd give momidos. So Amalei Bar Kapara. So now the girsa over here of the Gemara is a little bit tricky, meaning the girsa probably needs to be changed a little bit. But I'll read the Gemara as we have it, and I'll communicate the basic idea. Now remember, this is Rav Oshia Bar Kapara asking Rav Oshia after Rav Oshia has left him and moved on to a new Rebbe, Rebbe Chia. So Amalei Bar Kapara, Ma Bavli Omer B'davazeh. What does the Babylonian have to say about that? Now, that is the way that is referencing Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was a Babylonian. Rabbi Chia came from Bavel and learned under Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So in Eretz Yisrael, he was referred to as the Bavli. And the flavor over here, the tone of the Gemara over here is not it wasn't complimentary. Like, well, what is your new Rebbe? You know, the Babylonian. What does he have to say about this? So Ishtik Rabbi Yoshia lo Amar Klum. So Rabbi Yoshia didn't know. He didn't have an answer. So Amarle Bar Kapar Tzrichin LeDivrei Ayah. So he says we need Rabbi Chia on this matter. Okay. So in other words, basically the question remains an open ended question, and we got over here a little bit of drama also out of the story. Nachzal Rishon Sigamar says, okay, let's go back. Right? Rashi says it's like saying Amar Mar. Hareyu Omer Ulabas Rabbis or Shmonim Vachad. Again, the drasha that if a woman had a miscarriage on the eve of day 81. She's going to be obligated to bring another set of karbanos. Nema ketanai, the Gemara suggests now that this is subject to a machlokes hatanayim. Zav shira gimor ios belel ches tenichad amevi ve tanya idach eno mevi. We're back to our man, and he had and he is now finishing up his shiv nekiyim, and now he was expecting the next day to bring karbanos, but on the eve of day 8 he had gimor ios. Does he have to bring a new set of karbanos? One Tana says yes, the other Tana says no. Now my lav tanaihi. Presumably now what the Gemara is going to suggest is this is a machlokus hatanayim. Da'at datani maybe kasavar layla mechusar zman. Va'atani ain maybe kasavar layla mechusar zman. And Danny, as you predicted, the Gemara now is going to make this contingent on whether or not night qualifies as either being premature or not being premature. Meaning you can't offer carbon at night. That's fundamental. But at the same time, however. Can you right? Can the obligation of your karban start at night? Right. That is a machlokus. The Gemara says that could be the explanation between these two braises. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Acha, Amar Rav Elazar, Hani Tanai Savri Laila Mechusar Zman. The Gemara proposes a different explanation. They both are subscribing to the idea that Laila is considered Mechusar Zman, and so therefore night does not qualify as a day. It's different. V'had d'tanya mevi b'zav baal beis rios. V'had d'tanya emevi b'zav baal gimel rios. So the Gemara says, and as far as the differentiating between the two brisos, we're talking about two different zavim. A zav who saw three versus a zav who saw two. We're talking about the initial ziva. Now remember, for a man, seeing three requires shiv nekiyim. For a man, seeing two also requires shiv nekiyim. What's the difference? The difference is karban. So for three, you bring a karban. For two, you don't bring a karban. So now, zav baal beis riyas maila memra hakamash malan. Dafka ra'a belel ches, aval biyamama design lo. Now, if it is somebody who had two, his original Zava was two, so there's no carbon what to talk about. So what's the point? The point is as follows. Let's say he had those discharges not on the eve of the eighth day, but let's say he had those discharges on day seven, or day six for that matter. So now, do they count towards a major Zav? And the answer is no. The Gemara introduces us to a rule. If the discharge is there to undo the Shivanakim count, so they are only looked at that in that manner, meaning they're undoing a Shivanakim count, but they are not there to introduce a new Zav Tuma. I'll explain it just even a little bit better.
So you start Shivanakim all over again.
Right. So I'll explain a little bit better. When a man has has Shtei Re'iyos, and now he's going to have to count Shivanakim. So that means that he's got to experience seven clean days with no discharge whatsoever. A discharge requires him now to start his count anew, obviously, the next day. So I start his count anew. So even if it's not just one discharge during the Shivanakim, even if it's two, even if it's three, presumably it doesn't matter how many. Any discharge that he has is there to serve only the purpose of undoing a Shivanakim, and they can't be counted independently as a separate discharge.
How could you ever count three?
In our case?
Yeah, because as soon as you got to two, you'd start shivering a key, and then you'd reset the clock.
Correct, right? Correct. And the point, right. And the point is that even though now the next discharge is not going to change him whatsoever, it still can only be viewed as upsetting his count. But you're right.
So you can never become a Zavid Gadol.
During the shivering a key. During the shivering a key, that's absolutely correct. Post shivering a key, obviously now, You're eligible to become whatever kind of Zav. Zav Gadol, Zav Katan. So anyway, so that is the point that the Bryce is making. Amarav Amayu Kimtala Hadatanya Emi Viba Zav Bal Gemarios Lisne Gabe Chamisha Mivin Karban Echad Alaveres Harbe. So the Gemara says, why are we not adding it to the upcoming Mishnah? We're going to see a Mishnah in tomorrow's Daf about how is it to bring Karban Echad, one Karban, over multiple Averas. So the Gemara says, so over here, if we have a scenario in which the original Zava was the three Re'iyah Zava, meaning requiring Shiv Nekim and a Karban, and then on the eve of day eight, you have a Re'iyah. And you're telling me that now that is going to not count towards, it's going to not require new Karbanos. So then, why doesn't this case file under the upcoming Mishnah? And it's not going to be in the upcoming Mishnah. So the Gemara says, lo psika. The reason why is because it's not always true. And the Gemara explains. Amar Rav Yochanan ra, achas b'layla beis b'yom evi. If let's say one re'iyah occurred at night and two during the day, so this man now is going to be bringing a new series of karbanos, meaning night of the eighth and then another two day of the eighth. However, beis b'layla v'achas b'yom ein mevi. But if it is two at night and one during the day, not going to bring. Now, why should there be a difference? The Gemara is going to attempt to explain. Amar Rav Yosef Teida, the achas balaylo beis bayom evi. Look, one at night and two during the day. So this man now is going to have to bring another set of karbanos. Why? Da'ariya rishona shechva zera ba'ama. Because the first discharge that he had on the night of the eighth, so that is shechva zera. Now, what the Gemara does not mean over here is that we're not simply saying it was a seminal discharge, but what the Gemara is saying is that the first Zav discharge of a man is halachically no different than that of a Shechva Zera discharge. Meaning, if a man has a Shechva Zera discharge, he's Tamei.
He just counts, doesn't
even count. In other words, goes to the mikvah and Harav Shemesh. The first Zav discharge a man has is equivalent in halacha to the Shechva Zera discharge. So that means to say that, it happened not during the eighth day, it happened the night prior. Okay, so it happened the night prior. It's no different than having a Shechva Zera discharge, and so therefore, that in of itself is not going to be considered significant. It's going to be significant in terms of now we can aggregate and count 2 and 3 and add that to the 1. But the fact that it was at night as opposed to the day, it's not a big deal. However, on the other hand, this is just simply the Gemara's conclusion. And the subsequent 2 that he has during the next day is going to combine. However, if he had 2 at night, so 2 at night no longer is in the world of Shechva Zera. That now can only be viewed as a Zev discharge. But he's not obligated yet in his new Karbanos, and we're subscribing to the viewpoint that Laila is Mechusar Zman. So therefore, those 2 that he had at night are not going to require him to bring a new Karban. So basically, it's not always true that a discharge at night is going to either require carbon or not require carbon. It depends. Is it a 1 and 2, 1 at night, 2 during the next day, or is it 2 and 1, 2 at night, 1 during the next day? Amar Shesh is Bereid of Idimi the area Reir Rishon Shal Zav Chazia Bezman Chiyuva Achas Balayla Kevin Lav Bezman Chiyuva Chazia Ilav Dashmin and Rabbi Yochanan Mitzarif Havamin Lo Titzarif. So the Gemara says, if I didn't have Rav Yochanan, I could have made the simple argument that they should not combine, because it was a Zav discharge on the night before. Now the Gemara says, now, Rav Yochanan's position regarding night, is it Mechusar Zman, yes or no? The Gemara now notes, it's inconsistent, or at least it seems inconsistent, within Rav Yochanan. V'amar Chizkiah nitma b'yom, mevi, balayla, ein mevi. Rav Yochanan amar afila balayla, mevi. We're discussing now the following. We have a Nazir. He became Tameh. So now he's got to count his Naziris anew. But before he starts counting his Naziris anew, so what he needs to do is he needs to wait 7 days. Not Shivan Akim, by the way. In other words, 7 days of Paraduma. In other words, he's got to become Tamer. He came into contact with a dead body. Now, what is he going to do? So Paraduma on day 3 and day 7. And he's going to count now his Naziris anew. Now, when is he going to count anew? So hopefully you remember, it's Machlokas. Some are of the opinion that he starts counting anew on day 7. Some are of the opinion that he has to start counting anew on day 8. Why day 8? Because he's got to bring a series of karbanos on day 8. Meaning for a Nazir Tameh, the Torah requires him to bring on day 8 a series of karbanos. What if he becomes Tameh again on day 8? That's clear. He's got to bring a new set of karbanos, meaning he already is obligated karbanos for the previous tumah, and he's got to bring a new set of karbanos for now his new tumah. What if he becomes tameh on the night of the 8th? Here we go again. Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying, "Afilu b'layla mevi." Even at night, he's got to bring a new set of karbanos. Clearly, over here, Rav Yochanan is subscribing to the idea of layla not being mechusar zman. So the Gemara says, "Ki kamar Rav Yochanan beis balayla v'achav ayom, emevi ledivrei omer mechusar zman." Mechusar zman. So the Gemara says that the previous discussion where Rav Yochanan was saying it was mechusar zman, he wasn't espousing his own viewpoint, he was just espousing the other viewpoint. Meaning towards the other viewpoint, so then there's going to be a difference whether it's a 1-2 combination or a 2-1 combination. But he himself is of the opinion that Laila is not considered mechusar zman. So Ladivrei Omer Pshita, Ra'achz Balayla Beis Bayom, it's the Rechle. Now the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, that he's not espousing his own viewpoint, what is he introducing us to? What novel idea is there? So the Gemara goes on to explain the idea of 1 at night, 2 during the day. Ma'u detayim akevin delav bezman chiyuva kachazilei lo titztarif kamash malan. I can make the argument. The 1 at night, that wasn't a zman chiyuv. And so therefore that shouldn't combine to the next 2 that he has the next morning. The chiddush is they do combine. Okay, so I know I did that quickly, and I know that was really complicated, right? Not a good combination. But the basic idea is that the question on the table for the woman who gave birth, and for our Zav, and for that matter, for the Nazir Tameh, they all revolves around the same basic question, in that he is post his counting. On the other hand, he's not yet required to bring a karban. Because again, by karbanos do not kick in, the obligation does not kick in until the next morning. So we have this nighttime period where it's post-count, but it's not yet pre-carbon. And so the question arises that if there is an event that would occur, that would result in another obligation at night, would that actually require a new carbon, a new series of carbons? And the question, I'm really distilling and simplifying the entire discussion, and the question is whether or not Laila is considered mechusar zman or it's not considered mechusar zman. Okay. Let's start the next Mishnah, Haisha. Haisha sheyesh alav safek hey leidos safek hey zivos. a woman who has upon her five possible births, five possible births and five possible zavas. Now, a woman to be a zava means that she's going to see a discharge of blood 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva. A woman is 7 days Anida, 11 days a zava. If she sees on 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva, she is now a zava gadola. She has to count Shevet Nekiyim, and on day 8 she brings a pair of karbanos, chatos and ola. Fine. Let's say it was a suffix. She's just simply not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. Whatever led to the confusion. So, 5 times a possible leda, 5 times a possible zava. Mevia karbanechad ve'ochels bezvachim ve'inashar alei chova. So, she'll have to bring 1 set of karbanos, chatos and ola. Why? Because she's going to want to go into the Beis HaMikdash. I don't mean the Beis HaMikdash. I mean Yerushalayim, and in other words, and she's going to want to eat karban. Because now it's suffix, and she can't eat until she brings, but she doesn't have to bring for every suffix. Her bringing for 1 suffix would be sufficient. What about the rest? Not required. However, Hazy was vadaus veheledos vadaus mevi karban echad veochels bezvachim veashar alei chova. However, in a scenario where she had 5 definitive leidos and 5 definitive zavas, where now she's rung up now for a karban, a set of karbanos for each event. Okay, that's fine. Does she have to bring all the karbanos? The simple answer is yes. However, the Mishnah points out, once she brings her first set of karbanos, that creates the heksher. She now is in a position where she can go into Yerushalayim and she can eat karbanos. The others still are on her tab, and she's still required to bring the other karbanos, but heksher is created, is resulted by her just simply bringing 1 set of karbanos. Maisa sha'amdu kinam b'Yerushalayim b'dinar zav. Now, at one point, historically, the price of birds in Yerushalayim skyrocketed to the point where a set of birds was a dinar zav, a golden coin. A golden coin, a golden dinar, is equivalent to 25 dinarim. Now again, for you and I, by the way, it's not our currency, but we've been through enough Gemara together where we know that's really expensive. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now the identity of this Rabbi Shimon Gamliel gets a little bit confusing, because the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that we're used to hearing about is after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, and obviously we're talking about a time where karbanos are being brought. So we're going to have to back him up to an earlier Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. There's more than one Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Hamaon Hazeh. Lo alin, I'm not going to go to sleep halayla tonight at shiyu bidinarim. Basically, I'm going to drop the price. Now, chachamim have a lot of power and authority. Good. And the Torah has given them such. However, it is a free market. So it's going to be a little bit challenging for him to influence and affect the price, the cost of birds. But they still have influence, even on a free market. So, ad halayla shiyu bidinarim. Besof nichnas lebezdin. So he goes into Beis Din, velimeid, and he teaches now the following halacha. Now here it's going to get so controversial. Ha'isha she'esh ala hei leidos v'adaos v'hei zivos v'adaos, mivi karben echad v'ochaz bezvachim. Now in the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, in hashar alea chova. So he's ready to now promote the following halacha and popularize the following halacha. A woman had multiple births or had multiple zava obligations. She only needs to bring 1 karban, period. And she does not need to bring any more karbanos, meaning she doesn't ring up a tab. And so 1 karban will be good enough for multiple birthing events and multiple zava events. Okay. And basically what he did is he brought demand way down. And since he brought demand down, so now the price is going to adjust. Good. So he knew basic economics. But in other words, but where the controversy obviously lies, obviously, is he saying this halacha because he feels that this is the correct halacha? Or was he saying this as some sort of threat just so that he would lower the price? Now, keep in mind, by the way, his motivation was the best of motivations. Meaning, if the price of carbon was too costly and women couldn't afford it, so women would not be in a position where they could buy these carbonos, and they would remain in their state of being of Tameya. So his motivation is the best of motivations. He's trying to drive the price down so that women can afford the carbonos. That's beautiful. However, what makes the Mishnah super interesting and super controversial is, was he ready to say a halacha which is not a accepted halacha in order to drive the prices down? Sounds that way from the Mishnah. That's where it gets tricky. Now, there's much more discussion on this Mishnah. I'm just going to finish the Mishnah, and then I'll pick it up tomorrow after the Mishnah. Vein ashar alaha chova. Amdu kinem bayamahu ba'arba asayim. And what happens is that the price dropped. Sounds like from our Mishnah, the price dropped a quarter of what it was originally. Okay, not exactly sure how much. Sounds like, you know, a quarter of 25, but whatever the case is. In other words, he drove the demand down, and so therefore the price went down, and that was his solution to the problem.